Good evening, everyone. And a word of welcome to all of our guests who are with us at the cathedral this evening for Holy Mass. It's always a blessing and a gift to have you with us. This is not the way you learn Christ if you have heard of him. The words from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians from the second reading this evening. There's a slogan that floats around a lot in Catholic circles. You can't give what you don't have. For this Sunday, the sentence might be altered slightly to say you can't give what you don't know. Can't give what you have not learned. Can't give what you have not experienced. St. Thomas Aquinas, who made a huge contribution about what and why and how the Holy Eucharist affects us, says in a neat way that there are simply three things needed for our salvation. To know what to believe, to know what to desire, and to know what to do. St. Thomas obviously is not the first one to stress the importance of knowledge, whether that's practical or theoretical. The value of knowledge has been key to many philosophical or religious movements. It's expressed in the familiar "Know thyself." To know others is wise. To know oneself is enlightenment. In this second Sunday that we have continued to make our way through the sixth chapter of the Gospel of St. John, that's the question before us. That's the question Jesus put before the apostles and the disciples and those who were with him. Across the lake. What do you know? What do you need to learn? What have you understood? What have you experienced? This week, Jesus attempts not only for those with him, but he attempts to educate our desires, our motivations. What's the significance of things that are happening at times right before our very eyes? Crowds that followed Jesus to the other side of the lake did so because their first response was, well, you gave us food. I tell you most solemnly, you're not looking for me because you have seen the signs, but because you had all the bread you wanted to eat. But that was not the significance of what was happening. So the words of Jesus provoke us to ask similar questions. Similar questions about what we know, what we understand, what we've learned because of what we have encountered. Why is it like them? How would we answer that question? Why is it that we follow him? What do we believe about him? And does that what inform then something in our daily lives that makes us different? Our motivations can be as various and as different as you and I are. It's all people. There's some that are attracted first to the goodness of God. That lovely psalm that we sang together, the Lord is rich in mercy, kindness, slow to anger. It's beautiful. Some of us, thank God, look for peace and consolation from our faith, sense of serenity, well-being. Others trying to make the world a more just place. Some still find in the faith an insightful structure enabling them to manage their family life, the education of their children. What Jesus is teaching, that these motivations are all good in themselves. They're right and they're proper. But what he was instructing those with him on the other side of the lake is that there's one motivation, one desire, that of all of those gifts from God need to crown all the rest. That fundamental desire is for God himself. I am the living bread. Those who come will never hunger, never thirst. So if we truly embrace that which is what we know, that through our lives, what we've learned, and that Christ is present among us, what we've experienced and encountered, then the goal is to long to be even closer to Jesus, and how that affects us, how it affected them. It affects the way we act, the way we think, the way sometimes very simply the way we speak to each other, the way we look at each other, called to be Christ-like. This is the new life that St. Paul is talking about to the Ephesians. You must give up your old way of life, put aside your old self, which gets corrupted by following illusory desires. Mine must be renewed by a spiritual revolution. That's a strong word, revolution. The life that the apostle speaks about flows from what Jesus was helping them to know and to learn. They did it mostly by how they experienced him. St. John's Gospel, when Jesus asked for their faith, they asked him for a sign, as if he hadn't already given them several. They had already experienced the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. They had seen how he worked that miracle for all of those. Whoever comes to me will not hunger, not thirst. We have reflected on the woman who was hemorrhaging for 12 years. They'd heard about her courage, her strength. Heard about Jairus' daughter asking Jesus, come, I need you. In one sense, they see everything that can be seen, but in another sense, and this is what Jesus was helping with them, revealing to them, there's something else happening here. They might have gotten caught up in the excitement of it all and fail to ask themselves what it's all about, what it really means, what's significant here. We too have that experience in our lives. We can get caught up in the thick of things and we never see sometimes, I do, what is right in front of me. I miss it. We're busy being thrilled or bored or terrified or miserable or amused, that we miss it. Jesus is pointing out to his hearers that there is an obvious meaning in what they have seen. God is giving his very self to them, giving his very self to them in the person of Jesus, nourishing them, giving them all that they need, and giving them significance too. And how first and foremost that happens is by making them, making you and me, a part of his own story, a story of God's love, his care, his kindness, his mercy, satisfying us with his very presence. There's a slogan that floats around a lot in Catholic circles: you can't give what you don't have. This Sunday, the sentence might be altered just a bit, altered slightly. You can't give what you don't know, what you don't understand, what you've not experienced. The great thing this evening is that we have those things. We know God. We understand why he did what he did at the very beginning, all through the covenants given to us. So the great thing is that God's love for us this evening, as we will continue to listen to St. John, the words of Jesus, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, will never thirst." So once again, we understand, we know, because we will experience that resplendent presence in the Holy Eucharist.